Please be seated. I guess I'll start by just thanking our visitors today for enduring what's typically a little bit longer of a service than we normally celebrate on a Sunday, but we appreciate your patience, and we certainly welcome you with us. But sort of apologize, I guess, in a way that our service is a little bit longer this morning. Let us consider now and hear the word of our Lord, found in Joshua chapter 24, starting at verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers have served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, it is he that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did serve great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before him all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will serve the Lord also, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your sins, nor your transgressions, nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses.
Amen.
Let us pray. Most gracious Lord, thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have, that we are called into your presence, that we are called to a life of service in you. We thank you, Father, for the covenant family that you have established throughout the world. We thank you, Father, for this message from the book of Joshua this day. Father, might the meditation of our hearts bring in a new life in us, O Lord. Might we hear your word this day and hear your message, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Today, as I mentioned earlier, represents a remarkable day in the covenant history of Tri-City Covenant Church.
Amen.
We are a privileged people to be called by Jesus and to worship before his throne in the very presence of him and with all the saints of the Lord Jesus. God in his goodness has led each of us to be part of this work in Somersworth, New Hampshire. There are many privileges that we enjoy as part of this work, one of which we did a few moments ago. We stood called one by one by God together, and we swore an oath that we are uniquely bonded to God and to one another here in Somersworth. We stood as brothers and sisters in Christ and said that it is here that we are committed, that together we will carry on the work of our King in this place and in a broader community. Taking a church oath membership, of course, annually is not all that common. We are on the forefront of this practice, a positive sign of God's maturing work in this church. We should recognize this maturing work as a great privilege, an answer to our prayer, and desire for God to do it here the way he's always wanted it to be done. Now, in Joshua 24, we see that this privilege is part of our family history. Not unique to us. It's part of our family history. It's what our family does. Joshua was nearing the end of his life. God in his ever-providential care was not going to leave them alone. Joshua was a strong leader, led faithfully, loved the people, and the people loved him. Sound familiar? In his farewell address, Joshua's love for his people was evident. Put away the idols. Serve only the true God. This was an important transition time in our family history. It was truly a privilege for those present to receive Joshua's address. Now, before I get into the oath part of this, I would just like to back up to the beginning of the chapter and just read a portion of that, just to sort of set the scene for us. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves to God. Sound familiar?
Amen.
And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him through all the land of Canaan, multiplied his seed, gave him Isaac, and I gave Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses and Aaron and plagued Egypt, according to that which I did among you, among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came into the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with the chariots and the horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they were cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye have dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. And of the vineyards and oliveyards which you planted not, do you eat. So setting the stage a little bit, ham on a Sundays can dry you out a bit. Through Joshua, God gathers his people, our family, to Shechem. He did not gather just anybody. God's concern was with his people. He calls them here, we find, into his presence. After gathering them, Joshua tells who it is that is addressing them. It is, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, it is God that is addressing them. He's brought them into his presence and now addresses them. Joshua, speaking through God, reminds him of all they've came from, what he's done for them. I took your father from the other side of the flood, led him through all the land of Canaan, multiplied his seed, gave Isaac Jacob, Esau, and so on. Brought your fathers out of the land of Egypt, took the Egyptians out in the Red Sea. You got to think about that. That must have been quite a sight to see that. But anyway, brought you into the land of the Amorites. That's a whole sermon in itself. Gave them into your hand. I did not hear Balaam when he asked to turn against you. Those that fought against you, I gave to your hand. I gave you a land for which you did not labor, cities for you did not build, vineyards and oliveyards that you did not plant. Through Joshua, God reminds them that it was him that brought him through it all, brought them into the promised land. So in this sort of setting area, we have God calling people, calling his people into his presence, and he reminds them the many things he has done for them. It reminds us of what we've been through so far today. We've been called into God's presence. And then at our oath time, beloved in the Lord Jesus, in your baptism, you receive the sign and seal of your union with Christ. and were solemnly engaged to be the Lord's. God, as his goodness, has brought you to Tri-City Covenant Church. All that he's done for us, certainly we don't have the whole story of everything here, but certainly we can all say that God somehow has moved us all here. He's put us here. He's brought us here. He's brought us to this very place. God, in his goodness, has assembled us, called us into his presence, and has given us the great privilege, amen, of standing before him and with one another to stake our claim. Again, it's not common. It's not common for churches to stake their claim in the manner that we did. What a great privilege we enjoy. He reminds us that it is by his ways that we enter into this privilege. He reminds that in his goodness he has brought you. In Joshua 24, starting in verse 15, we see there the sort of like an opening charge. Now therefore fear the Lord, considering all the preceding things, what he has done for you, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Joshua, in a sense, is saying, I'm about to leave you. You will now have to carry on the work in my absence. Leaders, you'll have to step up and fill the gaps. People, you'll need to support and love these leaders. You've been called upon, you might be called upon to do something new, something that's outside your comfort zone. There are still things that need to be put away. Get about the business and put them away. Commit yourselves more fully to the work of God. Joshua says it is time. So in part of our charge, you have our Lord Jesus Christ said, whosoever shall confess me before men, I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. I'm probably going to use this word a few more times, but what a privilege, that word, privilege, to be called to confess that Jesus is Lord. That there is something bigger than me, that there are our very lives are in the hands of our Creator. What a privilege to stand with one another, brothers and sisters, and confess that we know who Jesus is and what he personally has done for us. When I finished reading all the names and I said to you that to stand before you, to stand with you and stake a claim that Jesus is the Lord.
Amen.
To actually sort of, you know, stand in front of you and say, all right, folks, it's time for us to stake our claim. It honestly is a most humbling thing. But it is a wonderful thing that all of us are able to stand together. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land we dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Certainly, the most familiar part of Joshua 24. Most of us could probably recite it without even having to read it. Joshua presents this in a manner similar to a trial. He says, the Lord God is on one side, the gods of your fathers on the other side of the flood, and the gods of the Amorites, they're on the other side. Choose you which side you're on. The Israelites had the great privilege of choosing. By God's design through Joshua, he grants them the choice. You say, you sort of got a choice, really? They had a choice. Now, God certainly wasn't going to let things fall apart, but they had a choice. And God's by design, because we all know that there is a great difference in being told to do something and being allowed to make the choice to do it. You think about that. It's true. At least it's true in my sinful heart and all of the things that I put out there. When we make the choice to do something, it is ever more meaningful to us. God's design. God certainly was not going to allow the Israelites to fall away. They were his people. But he knows the nature of man. By his design, the commitment was to mean more to them than any commitment in the past. Again, what a privilege they were presented with. Joshua starts it off. Good leader. As for me, I will serve the Lord.
Amen.
As for my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Joshua was nearing the end of his life. He could have said, retirement time. Now I want some me time. You guys do it. I'm going down to the beach. I'm going away. Maybe spend some time where it's warm in the winter. Not Joshua. Joshua said, we will continue to serve the Lord. Joshua was willing to serve the Lord until his very last breath. He understood the privilege. He wasn't going to waste it away. Serving the Lord was most important to him. Because we are our most blessed and privileged people, God gave to us the most impressive example of this with the last days, weeks, and months of our pastor. He faithfully served God till his life's end. When we think about it, when we think about the sermons he delivered over the course of the last few months, you really think about those sermons, it was never about him and his condition. It was always about what he thought about us. It was about what we should continue to do in his absence. Remarkable, given his most fragile state. Without question, I think anyway, so don't question me on it, he was his best when he was at his weakest. For that, we have to be most thankful. For that, we should be able to recognize that we are a blessed and privileged people. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before him all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Amen. Our family makes the correct choice. Covenant history continues. A remarkable opportunity within our family's history with the correct response. They concur with Joshua in his resolution, being influenced by the example of such a great man. We will also serve the Lord. In a way, they were even startled by the very thought of turning from God, even though they had done many times before, but they were startled by that, to serve other gods. For God forbid that we forsake the Lord. In summary, the Israelites acknowledge all that God has done for them. He's the God of promise, the only true promise. He's the God of faithfulness, the only truly faithful God. This morning, we also had the correct response. Do you confess? I do. After each challenge, we responded with, I do. We bond ourselves anew to his service. In a way, we had the choice to stay home this morning. But then we all thought about the great pancakes we were going to be able to eat from Todd. We all had the choice to stay home this morning and not take the oath. Similar to our family earlier on, we might have said, stay home? No way. No way, we're not staying home. It is God whom I serve. It is with the covenant people of Tri-City Covenant Church in whom I serve with. Choose the other gods? God forbid. We could say, hey, I did that last year. I've done that for many years. Some of us have done it. I don't even remember the first year we did it, but it's been more than 10. Might be 20 years. Anyway, something to look up at some point, but it's been a long time we've taken this oath. So why should we have to do this every year? I think each of us could say that it is good for us. At least for me, there is more meaning each year, especially this year given all that has transpired over the past couple of years. To be united and stand with you people and say, now we are going to serve God. We will do what we have to do. What a privilege. Each year we are privileged to further our commitment to God. God knows what he's doing here at Tri-City Covenant Church. He wants us to be reminded of that privilege that we have with him and with one another. I'm just thinking. No. And Joshua said unto the people, ye serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done you good. Can you imagine standing there and saying, hey, I'm going to serve the Lord, and then being told, you can't. You can't do it. Well, what was Joshua up to here? It seems sort of out of context in a way, but it's not. It's by design. Does Joshua attempt to break their spirit? After giving them the choice to serve God, is Joshua really saying, you can't do it? Most assuredly not. Were the Israelites serious? Was the oath they just took one they freely took? Joshua's harsh words here, in part, were meant to test their resolve. Oh, new page. There was a new chapter in covenant history being unfolded, a change in command. Their sincerity needed to be questioned. And so it is for us. Some people outside our church, even some that go to other churches, might be used to test our resolve. You do what, Annual? A membership oath? Really? That's different. Yes, we do. We are so blessed to stand with one another. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, we will serve the Lord. Ah, the correct response. Joshua's approach does not deter them. The correct response by our family yet again, nay, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. We see here the point of Joshua's aim in those preceding verses. It was not that he wanted to deter them from serving the Lord. He wanted them to fully take on this oath, prompted by God through Joshua, but made by their own volition. But their response here, we are witnesses. They are witnesses to themselves. In a sense, they're saying, let our own conscience accuse us if we fail to abide by our oath, if we fail to serve the Lord God. What a privilege it was to have the courage to take the oath to serve the Lord. Further courage to say that, let us be witnesses to ourselves. Likewise, we are witnesses to ourselves and to one another. I commend each of you that you have had the courage to bind yourself anew to God and his church here in Tri-City Covenant Church. I commend each of you to have the courage to fulfill what God has called you to do. I commend all the leaders that they have stepped up and said, I will lead. In many ways, we don't know how. I think that's evident from time to time. But we are committed to lead you and find our way. We will not do everything perfectly. There's probably 100 things we did wrong already today, or that we missed, some opportunity to serve or something. But we know that we have a special people here and that you have great maturity and patience. I, for one, and I think I can speak for the elders, the pastoral staff, and the deacons and say that we are very thankful for who God has assembled for us to lead. And we will do our level best to serve you faithfully. Some people spend their entire lives searching and wandering from place to place. I'm going to have to use the other glass. From wandering from place to place, from one bad situation to the next, or with some level of emptiness. Something is missing from them. We all know people like that. We should daily consider the privileges that we are so blessed with. We have a church home. We have a place that God has placed us. We have our God. And we have one another. A possible another application is our responsibility to bring in the lost. Maybe we should make it our goal, even pursue it this year, to expose this privilege to someone else that's not currently here. Maybe God would choose to add to his church. He did today. God in his goodness has assembled us, indeed called us into his presence, called us one by one to stand before him and with one another, gave us the great privilege of unconditionally aligning ourselves to him and to one another. Then he allowed to get right with him with our confession. He was faithful to forgive us. He has spoken to us. And very soon, as we near the end of our time with God this day, again, an historic day. I lost my place. Pardon me. We're going to spend our time dining with him at his table. It doesn't get any better than this, folks. If the Patriots do win later today, it will be good. But it will not be better than this time, this morning. If they win today and go on to win the Super Bowl, it will be awesome. In fact, my family might have to extract me from the ceiling in our home. But even that won't compare to this time. It doesn't get any better than to be aligned with our God and with you people, his people. There are many oaths that one could swear throughout our lives. There are none that carry with it more privileges than those that we swear in the presence of God and with God's people. Now, hopefully, I'm winding down. So if you've nodded off, it's now time to wake up because it's almost time for supper. Hopefully, we have received God's message this morning. I pray that I brought that to you. That it is indeed a great privilege to stand and be his people. It is a great privilege to be called from a life without meaning to a life with great meaning and purpose for him. It is a great meaning that all of our sin that we have committed has been washed away. All those moments of stupidity wiped clean. I had a couple of those this week. I'm glad they're gone. Kathy's probably glad they're gone too. It is a great privilege to stand before him and carry on this work at Tri-City Covenant Church. It's a great privilege to stand with one another and commit ourselves to this place that we love. Now, this message, of course, could have been about how serious the oath is. You know, I could have done a real good Calvin, well, I could have tried to anyway, done a Calvinistic, boom, pounding thing to say, you better be faithful to your oath this year and all of that, but that is true. But I don't think that's what God wanted us here, at least that's what I thought. I thought God wanted us to hear how much of a privilege it really is that we have here at Tri-City Covenant Church. If today was the first time that you took your oath of membership with us, welcome. We are delighted and blessed to have you here with us. I pray that you too further understand what a privilege you have received. You are part of the greater days of Tri-City Covenant Church. We have enjoyed some great days. We have enjoyed one of the best pastors of our time. But our greatest days lie ahead. Let us pray. Most gracious Lord, thank you, Father, for allowing us into thy presence. Thank you, Father, for the maturity that you've given to us, O Lord, that we can stand together, brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus, and the great privileges that come with that. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you might move upon us, that our resolve to serve you would be more stronger each day. Be with us, O Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen.